Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robert Song. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Can you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time you set aside where we can gather together each week and study your word. Mm. Lord, you have so much that you want to teach us, so much to encourage us with. Mm. Lord, we just have to be still and to listen, to sit at your feet and to respond to this time, to make the time for you, Father. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. Mm-hmm. But this is the most important thing that we can do, is to spend time with you each and every day. Mm. Drawing closer to you, Father, and letting the cares, the troubles, the stress of this world fall away, Father. Lord, for you, as we've seen all through this study, you are the promise keeper.
Yes.
You are our provider. Mm. You are our God. Mm. Lord, we know you care for us and love us.
Yes, Lord.
And minister to us every day. Lord, we just thank you for that, and we praise your most holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just ask tonight that you continue to guide this study. Mm. Lord, your word tells us where two or more are gathered, you are in our midst. And so we know you are here with us tonight. Even though we are separated by distance, you are not. You are omnipresent.
Yes, Lord.
Ministering to us as we continue to teach your word. Lord, we just ask that you bind any distractions, technical difficulties, anything that might interfere. Let your word go out and let seeds be planted as we continue to preach the gospel. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for ministering to us. Mm. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. For those who are with us live today, we would like you to use the, if you are on the computer, please use the chat to ask questions. Do that. Okay, for those who are with us by way of phone, please take down this number. That's 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Call this number and leave your questions. You can call several times and we will get back to you. All right. Please keep everything quiet around you, such as radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. And anything that on the background is not too good, then of course it's going to affect the teaching, the recording that we are doing. All right. However, just stay with us. At the end of the teaching, everyone will be unmuted, so that you will be able to ask questions or make a comment, whatever you want to do. So, and we just thank you so much for joining us today in this teaching. All right, now we are studying Joseph, studying the wedding of Joseph. Last week we did the background, but let me just read our text for tonight. And it's from Genesis 41, beginning at verse 9 to 16. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position and the other man was hanged. Verse 14, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Wow, I love this. I love what it says. Now, that is the text, all right, that now we're going to start digging in there. Our study today will focus on the miracles that God performed in delivering Joseph from prison straight into leadership. He became the second in command in all of Egypt. Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers sold him. He was purchased by Potiphar from the Ishmaelites to be his domestic slave. Now, in our introduction, Rob, you said you had something here in the introduction of before we can move forward.
So you have. I do. Just a little thought as we look into this. So you just mentioned that he was sold for 20 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because we look at the numerology, the times where 20 occurs in the Bible, there's some significance to this.
Right.
As is the choice of metal. Mm-hmm. So 20 is double that of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can mean have a concentrated meaning of what 10 is. But primarily when we see it, when we encounter it,
mm-hmm.
20 is one short of 21.
Mm-hmm.
21 being seven times three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seven being spiritual perfection, and three times being divine completion. So this is a very holy, significant number. So therefore, 20 being one short of 21 generally means expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's looking to move to that next level.
Right.
So for example, there were 20-year periods where there was an expectancy or a waiting. So
mm-hmm.
Jacob waited to get the possession of his wives, and it was wives and property. It was 20 years
mm-hmm.
before he was able to fully leave. Israel waited for a deliverer from Jabin's oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon waited for the completion of both the temple and his palace, and that was a 20-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this repeatedly throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other part that's interesting is that this is silver.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you think about it, it's only 20 pieces of silver. Why not gold? Why not? Well, we don't know, but the metal itself is also significant.
Mm-hmm.
For silver, oftentimes signifies atonement or redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And we see examples in Exodus 30, verse 15, or Titus 2, 14. And several other places. Even Judas was, you know, Christ was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at it now, we take the meaning of 20 being expectancy and silver signifying atonement and redemption. What we see, the symbolic meaning here is basically waiting for atonement. And if we think about what happens, we'll see in the study that Joseph will redeem his family and preserve them through the famine and the hard times that will come that we're going to see that's foretold in this dream. But also another key point is that through his brother Judah, is in his lineage is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like double atonement here. It's really interesting.
Right.
So we have, it's like peeling an onion. There's a layer and another layer and another layer, but all of it is amplifying the same message.
Right.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. That's the beauty of Scripture. Okay, thank you. Now, what we usually do most of the time is we recap the teaching of last week so that it would be able to connect us smoothly to the topic of today. All right. Last week, and that's almost the same thing we're talking about. We look at the background And we talk about he was sold for 20 pieces of silver, and that's what Rob is talking about now, just as we recap. Okay, we learn in the background of Joseph's wedding that Jacob had returned from Haran, where he lived for 20 years, along with his entire family in Hebron, with his father Isaac. Now, Joseph's dream and Jacob's love for him, as we discussed last week, Jacob's love for Joseph was demonstrated by buying him what other translation call coat of many colors, which created problem within the family. Now, Jacob also loved Joseph because Joseph was the son of Rachel, the wife he loved. Don't forget that. If you want to know more about this, go back at the study we did on Jacob. We have 12 videos out there on Jacob, and it's going to bless your heart. All right, just go back to that and study it. He loved Rachel. And so that love was transferred to the firstborn of Rachel. So now, he was, and Joseph, one of the problems that he had with his brother was he had two dreams, and these two dreams symbolized that he would have been a leader over them, even his father and mother to you. Are you saying we're going to bow down to you too? You know, so because of this, they hated him. All right, they hated him, and they sold him. In fact, what they said when they were about to sell him, they said, well, let's sell this man and see exactly what will become of his dream. And these two dreams are very important, you see, because they really were symbolic of what God had promised to do in the life of this young man. Now, his brother sold him, and the purpose of doing that, they wanted to see the dreams he'd been having. It's not going to happen when he's sold, when he's out of the family. He's not going to be over them. So they sold him. Now, he was bought by the Ishmaelites trader. But I think when they got into Egypt, the trader sold him to Potiphar, who was one of the high-ranking person within the kingdom. So, and he became his domestic servant or slave to just be there and serve. So these are things that we did last week. But while he was serving in the house of Potiphar, God blessed Potiphar's home. And because of Joseph working in there, God blessed the home. So what Potiphar did was he promoted him, and he was in complete control of the entire house. Everything in there was in care of Joseph. So Joseph was living good, I think, at the time now, thinking that, well, God, I know my problems are solved. I'm not with my family anymore, but I thank God you brought me and you blessing me. But then in the midst of that, something happened as we studied last week. Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife. And hey, Rod, you can pick up from here because you say you have a note here. It is something we're just recapping.
Yes, Pastor, you're correct. That what you're saying, this was not a one-time event, mm-hmm. that she persisted. And we can infer from the context that Joseph was always present with other individuals in the household, that he wasn't with her alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this likely was probably by his own doing. Or it could be, you know, it could have just been circumstances, or it could be a little of both. But what's important to remember is that to maintain our integrity, there must not even be the appearance of impropriety.
Uh-huh.
And so we see Joseph keeping witnesses around, keeping in sight of others, until this one day where it was just the two of them. And, you know, these are some of the things that we can do to maintain our appropriate relations with members of the opposite sex. You know, unfortunately in America, it's a highly litigious society.
Right.
So that we must always be cautious in these things. So we see in the story of Joseph that, yep, he rose up, came out of slavery, came into a high position within the household. Then the wife has evil intentions. He resists. He flees from it, which is a great thing. But then she lies, and he gets thrown into prison and basically is back a slave again.
Thank you. Good. Now, but one thing that he did, after many attempts by Potiphar's wife, Joseph said that I cannot do this. By doing this, I will be sinning against first my God and second my master Potiphar, who trusted me and put everything in charge of me. You are the only secret. Everything else in this house, I am in control, but you are the only secret between my master and me, so I cannot touch you. So there, because of his faith in God and honesty with his master, he was thrown into prison. Now, let's see. When you read Genesis 39:10, tells us the persistency of the temptation. And they say, I quote, she spoke to Joseph day by day. So it was not just one day. It was not one day a talk. This lady, every day he would talk to Joseph about that. You know, well, you know, I mean, my master gave you everything. My husband gave you everything already. I mean, that is including me. I probably she may have said that. But Joseph, day by day, Joseph said, no, I cannot do it. So on one other occasion, she advances and then took hold of Joseph, and Joseph fled. And she took his garment. So then she got angry and said, well, since you don't want to have anything to do with me, I'm going to report you. So when the husband came home, Potiphar came home, the wife was there and said, see what has happened here. The Hebrew slave you brought in their home want to misput out of me. This is his clothes that I grabbed from him when he came when he sexually advanced himself towards me. But even though that was not true, she wanted that, and the young man said, no, I cannot do it, because when I do that, I will be sinning against God and against my master Potiphar. Well, as Rabbi said, Joseph was put into prison. But here what happened. When God is with you, he will always bless you wherever you are. Even in prison, Joseph was promoted. He was promoted. Influenced by God, the prison keeper committed all the prisoners and their activities into Joseph's hands. Seeing that God was prospering Joseph and his work, he left the management of the prison entirely in the hands of Joseph. That is exactly what happened. Joseph now in prison, but yet the commander in prison put Joseph in charge of everything. See, these are the things we did last week. Now, today, we will be looking at, after this teaching, the participant will discover, understand, and believe that. Let's be careful. These are the things that you're going to get from the teaching tonight. God can, at times, use suffering to accomplish his divine purpose for his people like Joseph. Don't forget that. God was with Joseph from within his father's house into the house of Potiphar. And in prison, God is with his people in every circumstance. Don't forget that. It was part of God's will that the chief cupbearer forgot about Joseph's request to the king for 2 years because God had a better plan for Joseph. God's sovereignty has no boundary. He uses the king of Egypt through dream to fulfill his promise to Joseph. These are the key things that I will want you to learn from the teaching today. We are going to talk about three major things. Three major things, all right? The first thing we're going to look at is the background of Joseph's promotion. The second, Joseph became the second person in Egypt. And the third, Joseph and Asenath's wedding. These are the three major things. We hope to finish it. If we don't finish it, well, okay, we can pick up from there next week, all right? Because we are not in a hurry. We want to give you exactly according to what we have here. So, now, the first thing that we need to look at is the background of Joseph's promotion. What was happening? All right? The reason for Joseph's promotion, there were a lot of things that are happening. When God wants to do something, he can move anything. He can do whatever he wants to do. Now, here what happened. The reason for his promotion, well, you know, he's in prison. Well, and more especially, he was not an Egyptian, a Hebrew slave in prison. So that added the question that he cannot do anything in that country. But here is the point. When God wants to do something, there's no boundary to his sovereignty. Don't forget that. Now, God allowed Pharaoh had two dreams. In the first dream, he sees seven thin cows, devouring seven fat cows. That was the first dream he had. And you can look at this in Genesis 41, 1 to 4. Now, in his second dream, which is from 5 to 8, from Genesis 41, from verse 5 to 8, he sees seven thin heads of grain devouring seven healthy ones. When Pharaoh got up, he was stirred up. He wanted to know the meaning of these two dreams. Pharaoh, he called upon his magicians and wise men in Egypt to come and tell him exactly the meaning of those dreams. And when those wise men came, they told Pharaoh that there's no man, no human like them would be able to reveal the meaning of his dreams. Why? Pharaoh was really concerned. He was worrying about his dream. Now, something that kicked in was this. The cupbearer suddenly remembers that Joseph interprets his dream in prison. He tells the king about Joseph. Now, let me give you the background of this. The chief cupbearer and the chief baker were put into prison by the king. They did something. And it was the very prison where Joseph was. And Joseph was, he became a leader in that prison. But the commander gave him, promoted him. So while they were in that prison, each of them had a dream the same night. And so in the morning, they were worrying about it, and they were thinking, Joseph went to them, what is going on here? What's happening? And they told him, oh, no, we had a dream last night, and we worrying about this dream. We do not know what it means. So Joseph said, tell me, God is able to interpret the dreams. So the baker told Joseph, the cupbearer told Joseph the dreams. And Joseph, you can go and read that text, all right? And Joseph told him, within 3 days, you will be restored to your position to give wine to the king. Then when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he came and said, well, this is a dream I had. He explained the dream to Joseph. And Joseph said, wow, for your dreams, within 3 days, you will be hanged by Pharaoh. And so within 3 days, exactly as Joseph interpreted those dreams, it happened. But when the cupbearer was leaving, Joseph told him, please, I'm a Hebrew. I don't do anything wrong. I'm in prison for nothing. Please, once you are the chief cupbearer, please make sure to help me that I will be set free from this prison. But when he got out, because it was not the plan of God, God had a better plan for Joseph. 2 years, this man forgot about his friend, the one who interpreted the dream for him. And so God brought him in the whole country to the highest man, second dreams that he needed to know the meaning. Now the cupbearer said, oh, I can remember there's a Jew in the a Hebrew in that prison, Pharaoh. He is able to give you the interpretation of your dream. Oh man, I mean, hey, Rob, what do you think about this? That's great.
And you're right. The time was in God's timing.
Right.
Because if he had remembered, there wasn't any need for Pharaoh really to do anything. You know,
right.
Okay, so the dream came true. But now here, Pharaoh has a need.
Yeah.
And only Joseph can fulfill it. So yeah, right. So this is very interesting. And it's what I was thinking about is, do you think Pharaoh just happened to have these dreams?
See?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think this was God remembering Joseph and carrying out his plan for Joseph.
That's it. You're right.
Just as he's getting all along, God is the promise keeper.
Uh-huh. That's it. Because God was doing the whole thing in order to keep his promise to Joseph. You got it. You nailed it. Now, Joseph was brought from prison to interpret the king's dream. I mean, I love it. When you read the text, when the king told Joseph that I have two dreams and no one in my kingdom is able to give me the meaning of those dreams. And someone, I'm told that you are the one can do it. I love what he said in the text we just read. He said, no, I cannot interpret the dream, but my God is able to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. I just love that. Now, God revealed to Joseph that Pharaoh's dreams are foretelling the events of the next 14 years. The first 7 years will witness abundant crops, while the next 7 years will see only famine. Now, when he explained the dream to Joseph, Joseph said, well, this dream, this is what God is saying to you. For 7 years, you will have more food in your country. And for the next 7 years, there will be no food. So what you need to do, Joseph recommended, what you need to do for the 7 years of abundance, you need to appoint someone who will be able to collect food and store and have storehouses all over the country so that the people will live on it, you know, for the next 7 years of farming where there will be no food. Wow. Now it hit the king. He knew exactly that the meaning was so important. See, so the king he was there, he got so concerned. See, he got so concerned, he knew exactly that the dreams meant a lot to him. So Joseph gave him the meaning. The second thing that we'll be looking at here, as we go further, we'll be able to come back to this whole dream thing and give you more and more info on that, all right? But Joseph, after Joseph giving the meaning of the dream to Pharaoh, then Pharaoh said, but who in this kingdom that can do, that have the spirit of God who will reveal revelation like you? So you are the one that I will select to go and become the second to me. That's great. All right. So there, Joseph was promoted as the second man to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Now, the decrees of Pharaoh, you can find that in Genesis 41, 37 to 57. Yeah, read that. Joseph was again promoted. Let's just follow the whole thing. When he was loved by his father, and because of that love by his father, God promised him. I mean, not because of the, but he, God promised him when he was a young boy back home that he would have become a leader in the family. And his father loved him. When they sold him, he was promoted in the household of Potiphar. And then he was put into prison and became what? Another leader in prison. Why in prison? Now, Joseph now is the second to Pharaoh of all Egypt. See the joy, the beauty. God is the promise keeper. Whatever he has promised you, he is going to do it regardless of what is going on in your life. God is the promise keeper. Don't forget that. Pharaoh appoints Joseph to oversee the storage of grain, placing him in charge of the entire government in Egypt. In fact, he took his signet ring and gave it to him. You read that text. This is the beauty when God is working miracles. Now, Joseph took this job seriously. Look what he did. Joseph stole massive amounts of grain in nearby cities. So when the famine comes, people from surrounding lands also come to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Joseph took that job seriously. All right? He took it seriously. But here's something that I want us to look at now. Let's connect. There's something about the dream. Something about the dream of the king was so concerned about, hey, he really wanted to know the meaning of this dream. Now, I love how Hesa, Barry Hesa, from the Fifth Life Study Bible. I love the commentary he had on this. Let me just read that for you. Quote. It's on Genesis 41:7. Dreams, king's dreams were often assigned special importance in the ancient world as monarchies, and in Egypt, kings were considered to be of divine origin. So, unquote. Now, what he's saying here, because kings were worshipped, you know, in the sin, and they were considered as someone of divine origin. So, whatever dream they had, it was so important because it had something to do with their country and with their people. So, whenever a king had a dream, they wanted to know the meaning and to act accordingly. That's when he had the magicians. That's where he had the wise men to advise him. But at this time, in God's own timing, his wise men and magician could not do anything. And I want to say praise the Lord. They could not do it. Because there was the proper timing for God, for Joseph. Because God is the promise keeper. And this is what, see, Pharaoh dreams in but there's something that I want to believe trickle to Joseph. Because, you know, Joseph, we call him Joseph the Dreamer, and he had what? Joseph had two dreams with him when he was home with his family. So I believe that and I just love what Hesa also noted here on Joseph's dream, and I want to read that to you. I put it right here. It is from Genesis 41, 2 to 7. It says, Pharaoh's two dreams in this chapter echo Joseph's pair of dreams in Genesis 37, 5 to 11, and the two dreams of the cupbearer and baker. His first dream features cows, which had a range of symbolic meanings in Egyptian religion. Isis, the mother of Horus, were depicted at times as a cow, since the Pharaoh was considered to be Horus incarnate. The cow symbolized the mother of the Pharaoh and Pharaoh's own fertility and line. See, I love what Hesa said here. See, so because it had to do with who they considered the king was, that he was of divine origin, and things that were happening in the time. And so whenever he had a dream, it triggered something in Joseph as well. Because Joseph is a dreamer. He had two dreams in his own family that resulted to his, you know, to his, for his brothers to hit him, and they sold him many years, right? God was with him in these dreams and other things, and I just love that. Now the third and final point. We have studied the background of his promotion, and then we just did the promotion itself, the decree and what the king said to him. Now it was followed by what? His wedding. Now that is the last point, his wedding. Joseph and Asenath's wedding. Now, following the appointment of Joseph, Pharaoh renamed Joseph and gave him a wife. Now, two things that had happened here in the text. I don't know, but Pharaoh, after he had have appointed Joseph and giving him this major responsibility in the land, he did something. He renamed him. Joseph got his family name, but Pharaoh renamed him and gave him an Egyptian wife. Why? Okay, let's look at it. Before we get that to the real wedding, let's look at a little background of that. Now, the renaming, he was renamed Zephaniah. The meaning of this name is debatable among scholars. Scholars got so many ways. When they got, you know, when it comes to this, they got so many interpretations. What does it mean? Why when Joseph did this and Pharaoh gave him a name, what was the meaning of the name? You see, scholars have generally explained that there are differences of opinion on this, and I don't want to take that much time on it because so many views that are involved. Some say that the name, the meaning of the name in the Egyptian language means that God said, "Let him live," or the God has said, "He will live." And he went on and Kitching proposed other things and different proposed what he said. But the point that I want to make here is that he renamed Joseph. He also gave him a new name, meaning, and I love what Gingrich also said, where we can look at the meaning of this, the meaning in light of the savior of the world. Well, that you know, that's what Gingrich, he is saying, that's what Pharaoh meant. But this is really a debate. But the point that I know, which is not a debate, was the renaming of Joseph. He was giving an Egyptian's name. Now the second thing that God did, Pharaoh did, Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian wife, and her name is Asenath. Now, Asenath is the daughter of the priest of On. The meaning of the name Asenath is also debatable, but this is a little much better. Asenath means she who belongs to the goddess Na, or she who belongs to you, meaning gift of the sun god. These are in Egyptians' meaning of this name. But most scholars believe that actually this was not a real name, but because Pharaoh gave this woman to Joseph. So that means it represented that. I mean, Pharaoh gave her to Joseph. So that's the argument that scholars have concerning this name. But that the point that we want to make here is Joseph was given an Egyptian wife. Asenath was a daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and you can find that in Genesis 41 to 45. So these are areas. Now, what we want to look at very carefully is this: the wedding. How was it performed? Now, the only thing Scripture did not tell us exactly how the wedding was held. How did it perform? We have no clue. The only thing the text says, after Joseph was commissioned to become second to Pharaoh, the next thing Pharaoh did, changed his name and gave him an Egyptian wife. And that wife was the daughter of the priest in that land. So how do we understand that? The word of God just said plainly, we don't know. All right. The question that we may want to ask ourselves, was there any exchange of vows like what we do? What constitutes a marriage in ancient Egypt at the time of Joseph? We don't know. Knowing the position, but the one point that I think is clear here, knowing the position of Pharaoh and Joseph, we can rightly assume or agree that Joseph had a formal wedding according to the Egyptian culture. It's not in Scripture, but for the king to give a wife to the second man in command, I think it was a major celebration at the time. We don't know exactly. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
I don't know, but I mean, we're just speculating right here now. What do you think?
Well, if we look at some of the things that we've seen in the surrounding cultures where there's arranged marriages, you know, the father would send for a bride. In this case, it's Pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
Who's the supreme ruler.
Right.
But yet he's sending for another father's daughter.
Right.
And it's interesting because you think about, okay, what father is going to allow his daughter to be betrothed to a prisoner?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that's an interesting thought. But then we must realize, too, if this is an arranged marriage, which was the culture at that time,
mm-hmm.
all parties had to agree.
Right.
Now, are they going to refuse the king, the Pharaoh's wishes? Probably not, but they all had should have had a choice in this. So no. The father would have to agree, the daughter would have to agree, and Joseph would have to agree.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. And then what was in the ceremony and how was it performed? Was it performed by the father since he was a priest? Was this a pagan ceremony? We don't know, although I would tend to speculate based on Joseph's faith and position. I don't know if he would have accepted that, because here he's standing before Pharaoh saying, this is not from me, this is from God.
Right.
And he's making it clear where he believes. So I would think we would see the same character all the way through, that he'd be like, nope, we it must be in service to my God, not to any other false gods.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's kind of, we don't know. We don't know. The only thing, but as you said rightly, Arab, the king or the Pharaoh was the supreme ruler. And then culturally, he becomes the father of everyone. So, and then with what Joseph had done, what God had done through Joseph. Now he gave him a wife who is the daughter of the priest of On. So one commentator said that was a wiser decision the king had taken, because looking at Joseph being a spiritual man, He gave him a spiritual wife in a sense. Because he said that no one that will be able to explain exactly what you have dreamed. Nobody knows the meaning. Here someone came and said, he said, my God is able to give you, and his God did. And thereupon he was commissioned to be the second in our land. His name was changed, and he was given a wife who was the daughter of the priest of that country. Owned. All right. So we don't know. But anyway, okay, we want to stop here tonight. And before we come to our conclusion, if anybody have a question, you welcome to ask, or you want to make a comment, you welcome to make the comment before Rap will give us our concluding points, and then I will give our announcement. Anyone? Okay, Rap.
Okay.
Yeah, can you conclude?
Absolutely. So this is such a great study, reading about Joseph. And what is amazing is that through all this, not once do we see him complain or wallow in pity.
Mm.
He goes from a favorite position in his family to being rejected and sold into slavery.
Right.
He then becomes the head servant in the household of Potiphar, who's the captain of the guards.
Uh-huh.
And then he's falsely accused and imprisoned. And even in prison, he's elevated. And then ultimately, out of this, he becomes governor over Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes from valley to mountaintop to valley to mountaintop again.
Yeah.
And in this, looking at his life, looking at how he always points back to God and he serves, we can learn a great deal from his attitude.
Uh-huh.
You know, life is not always pleasant. It's not always easy sailing, as some might say. But in all things,
yeah,
we should serve God and give God credit for all that he's done, just as Joseph did. And Joseph realized that God is in charge, and he becomes a witness to those around him.
Uh-huh.
And we see that they trust him. Potiphar trusted him, and then ultimately that trust was destroyed by Potiphar's own wife.
Uh-huh.
The head in the prison trusted him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pharaoh trusted him all the way through.
Mm.
So he provides a great role model for us,
mm-hmm,
looking at that when we're going through trials and tribulations. And then when trouble would come, he made the appropriate preparations, meaning when the famine was going to come, he prepared all of Egypt and stockpiled everything so that they could ride out the seven bad years.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of his faithfulness, all of his family, and remember his family rejected him, well, the brothers, that all of his family would be preserved, and from his family line would descend the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How great is that?
Mm-hmm.
So the takeaway is, no matter what our position in life, we must serve and honor God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are faithful, he will redeem us and bless us, but only in his timing.
Yes, only in his timing.
And the thing that I have learned is that in this and through many, many experiences is what is called progressive servitude,
mm-hmm,
meaning that as we learn to be good stewards over little things, God will then entrust us with larger and more expansive duties.
Mm-hmm.
So once we are diligent and faithful in serving in the little things,
mm-hmm,
then God will expand our responsibilities, our possessions, whatever it may be. But we have to be faithful, we have to be serving, and we have to be diligent about it. And until we're doing that and pointing back to God, he isn't going to bless us with more or expand,
mm-hmm,
our own service to him. So that thing. So it's what we call progressive servitude. So in all things, we need to be good stewards, and we need to keep that at the forefront of our mind, just praising him, blessing him, and waiting patiently, not worrying about what is happening. For we need to remember that he's the promise keeper. He's there, and he's got a plan for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Great. Yeah, he got a plan. He got a plan for us. Everything that worked out in Egypt all came together because God had planned to fulfill the promise he made to Joseph when he was a young boy in his father's household. God revealed two dreams to him. So thank you, Rob. We got it. Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you that will be watch this on YouTube, we want you to do something for us, please. You can subscribe. And so each time we post a video, it will just come straight in your inbox. You can leave us a comment on YouTube, or we got a thumbs up or thumbs down, hit the button. We want you to give us some info. Subscribe to our channel. And every week, whatever we post will come straight in your inbox. If you are watching this on our website, do the same. Give us your comment. We have a place where you will just write what you think about the whole thing. Keep praying for us. And we have about 59 videos out there study on marriages true of the Bible. There are some real historical backgrounds in some of the things we have done. They are free. But hey, subscribe, leave us a comment that we will be able to move forward, you know, with this study. Tell us what you think. Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's still a comment. Whatever you do, we will appreciate it. All right, for those who are with us live every time, we say thank you. And we pray that you will continue to come invite somebody. Next week now, we are looking at Joseph is married with his now married. He got a new position and he got a wife right there. So now we're going to see now the fulfillment. Next week, the fulfillment, the brother now by next week will now come and bow down to him. So from that in our conclusion. So thank you for joining us. And may God richly bless you. Come by next week at 8 o'clock. Everyone, bye-bye. Thank you.